But I do want to make it memorable to us. I can't help but think of one of the song the choir, not the choir, but the congregation sung by that time when we will crown him and give him the crown. And then in turn, he's going to reward us when we get to heaven one day. But in my mind, I can't help but visualize a time that nothing in this world has ever seen like it. When we stand before God, especially at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we sit and the Lord himself sits at the head table, and we do in remembrance of what the Lord did for us while we was here on this earth and while he was here. And we take the cup and we eat the bread, and we will in remembrance of over there. And so as we do that, God will remind us again, as we look around at that glorious place, look around at that time when God passes out rewards for those who faithfully serve him, at that time when God can literally say and have us to say to those who are not there, I told you so, it is real, and we're there because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get there and see that splendor, I can't imagine. Sometimes I shut my eyes at night and think about the throne of God and think about masses of people. And by the way, there will be a lot of folks there. Not compared to the number of people that lived on this earth, because most people that lived on this earth is going to hell. Most people on this earth will end up in the lake of fire. It's not because God didn't love humanity. It's just the fact that they will have spurned and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ or God's plan and purpose. Even in the Old Testament, when God set up the Levitical system, if it was rejected, it was the same thing as rejecting Christ, because all of that pointed to the time that Christ should come. And so we live in the age of grace now. We don't have to worry about what happened in the old covenant. That's something God did there. We need to understand it a little bit so we can understand the new covenant here in the age of grace. But we need to look at grace. And since Jesus came and died, and the church is what we're part of, we're not part of the Levitical system. We're part of the church, which is the body of Christ. Jesus died and redeemed the church. The blood of Christ in the Old Testament was seen manifested, come into the future in the blood of sacrifices of lambs, pigeons, and different types of animals, where sin could be atoned for until Jesus could come and take sin away. And so when Jesus was here, he told the disciples in the upper room that night before he was crucified what to do and set forth the example. And Paul came later, 26 years later, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he writes to the church at Corinth, and 26 years later, after Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, when Jesus gave the instructions, what we look at today as communion or the Lord's Supper, he gave instructions what to do. Little was said about it, though we do know the early church in the transition period kept God's promise by breaking bread and taking of the cup. But when Paul came and he wrote to the Gentile churches, he says the Holy Spirit gave him information about understanding this event. Now, Paul being a Jew, it had to be the Holy Spirit of God, because the Jew could not understand what communion meant whatsoever. That's something that God gave after Jesus died on the cross. Before Christ came, bringing a sacrifice, the right sacrifice for the right type of sin, made atonement for sin as the priests went through their ritual and put the blood where God said it had to be put, whether it be on the altar or it be inside the holy place or once a year in the most holy place. But now Jesus gave instruction before he left about his blood and about his cup. And he gave a type when he talked about the cup, which is the blood that he was shed, and his body being the bread that was broken. And so symbolic of that is what we're doing here tonight. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I read again, for I hear, and we read many times, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now he's referring back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, which was 26 years before this, around about that, before this was written here to the church at Corinth. And said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, notice again, there's nothing miraculous about this bread. It's symbolic. It amazes me that how sometimes people take something that's symbolic, and turn it into something they'd want to call some type of miracle. There are those who teach that this literally comes the body of Christ. No, it doesn't. What good would that do for us to eat literally the body of Christ? When you're eating the body of Christ scripturally, you're studying the scriptures. You're feeding the new soul, the new creation with the scriptures. The scriptures is food for the new creation. This right here is no more than symbolic. We recognize that our Savior's body was broken. We don't take it lightly when they said they beat him with a cat of nine tails. We don't take it lightly when they said they plucked his beard out. We don't take it lightly when they put him on the cross and put nails in his hands and his feet and crown of thorns on his head and stuck a spear into his side. We don't take that lightly because Christ's body was being abused when they did that to him. We take it to mean that Jesus did that for us. He did that for us. Now, amazing thing about this is that what Christ did didn't pay the sin debt. Anybody could have took a whipping with a cat of nine tails. Many of them did. Others could be crucified. Two thieves on each side did. You could stick a spear in anybody's side. That's not what literally brought about the fact that we can be free for our sin. But it took the cross of Jesus Christ hanging there as public shame. The Savior of this world, God in the flesh, tabernacle in a body of flesh, been abused and shamed among humanity, hanging on the cross as a common thief. I don't see why God didn't just stop everything then and obliterate everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing, you know, the world today, what a merciful God we got for people to mock and deny the evidence that God has left us about what he's done. And today they're worse than in man's history in believing about Jesus Christ. And almost as bad as they was in Noah's day, as they were in Noah's day when the whole world was destroyed by water, except Noah and his family. We're living in awful times of rejection of the true and living God of our day. And yet religion has it that things are normal. One of these days God will step in and show us they're not normal. The only normal thing is when he's ruling and reigning. And that's what it always should have been, and that's what it's going to be in the end results. I'll tell you one thing, if you're talking about a change, there's going to be a change when Jesus sets up the throne and rules this world for a thousand years. There's going to be change. You're talking about change, there's going to be change, brother. And I'll tell you this, he'll rule it with an iron fist, too, because it'll be righteousness. It won't be guesswork. It won't be try and error. He'll rule with an iron fist, and it'll be in righteousness. Someone tries to do that now, they mess everything up. Most of the time, people who try to rule with an iron fist deny God. But in that day, he will not. He will rule, and he will see to it that the peace comes, like he said. The very peace that comes to our heart now will come to the individual's lives. In that day, be perfect peace. And he said, he give thanks, he break it, and he take it, and said, this is broken for you, this is doing remembrance. This is my body broken for you, doing remembrance for me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, and he's saying, this cup is now the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Then he says in verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, isn't it interesting? That verse tells me what happened. That verse doesn't tell me this cup becomes, the blood of Christ. It doesn't tell me that it's his body. This is not transubstantiation we're talking about here. It tells me that simply that when you drink this cup and you eat this bread, you do show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, we're recognizing of what God has done, and this outward example that we give is showing that Jesus did shed his blood. We believe he did die. We believe he was buried. And we believe he rose again. And that's what we're manifesting to this world. You do show the Lord's death till he come. So you're here tonight for this special event. We're going to have nothing, like I said, but communion. You're setting forth the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ when we take of this cup. We believe God, what he says about this condition and this thing that we're doing, this taking of this cup and this bread, we believe God about it, and we believe it enough to know that it represents something that Jesus did for us on Calvary. And he said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. He said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, there's times people do this, and since God doesn't just whack you in the head real quick like and do something, you think he don't mean business. One of the things about the world is they don't understand that God is a merciful God, but God is also a God of wrath. And just because God is merciful don't mean his wrath's not going to come if the blood hadn't taken care of it. Sin brings wrath. Sin brings death. And so sometimes people think, well, you know, I've lived for 20 years. God hadn't done anything to me. Just hold on. If you're not living for him, it will catch up with you. You will reap what you sow. It will show up. And there may be some times in life that it shows up when we don't want it to show up, even later in life. But again, he goes on, he says, but let a man examine himself so that eateth that bread and drinketh that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation to himself for discerning, not discerning the Lord's body. And then Paul said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Isn't that interesting? Paul said, because there are those who mock this and those who participate in this unworthy, God said, Paul said, I want you to know the Holy Spirit's give me understanding. And he said, for this cause, there are weak people. There are those, he said, that are sickly, and many sleep. You go anywhere in the scriptures and you'll find sleep means death. They die. But who would say that? The average person in this world say, hey, my God wouldn't do nothing like that. Well, why would he put it in the book if he didn't? Now, you and I don't know when he does it, but I'll tell you this, he's got to do it. Why? Because he said he would. And so we never know. One day we will. One day we will understand it in its entirety. Every aspect of our life will be revealed to us in that day when we stand before him. And even the children, what I like about this is too, that he said if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And the thing about taking in judge is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He says, how do you do that, Lord? If we judge ourselves, how do I judge ourselves? Well, when we know there's something not what it ought to be, John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The thing about our wonderful God is this. He doesn't tell us something to confuse us. He doesn't tell us something to, in turn to trick us. He doesn't tell us something that's not true. And he says, and even John included himself, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if I believe that's true, and I do, then I believe that when I come to this table, I can take of it worthily because I go to God and ask him to cleanse me that I could take it worthily. And by the way, that don't mean just a few things. That means everything. That means even if there's something you don't know, ask him to cleanse it. But be sure you announce to him those things you do know, because that's how you cleanse. You don't pray, God, forgive me all my sins, and something specifically need to be prayed about and say, well, I included that. God, prayer is specific. And then you pray for other things that you may not know about. Lord, please help me if something where else I don't know. But don't come to God thinking, saying, I don't know when we know. When we know, because then we're lying to God. Hey, you can lie in court, but you can't lie to him. So what he's saying is strict to us as Christians, to be sure to take this, because he said do it. And then secondly, when we do it, be sure we take it worthily. Someone said, well, that's the reason I don't take communion. I don't feel worthy. Well, there's an easy way to get worthy, just like it was when you got saved. If you didn't repent of your sin when you got saved, you're not saved. You don't go to God and ask God to save you and not repent of your sin. Because what good would that be? If that be the case, anybody could just go to any God and say something like that. But God himself is the one who gives us instructions. And so we come specifically, and that's what it is tonight. What a joy for us to meet as a church. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean this. What a joy it's going to be one day when we get to heaven. I don't know where we'll be scattered around the throne of God. But I'll tell you this. All the children of God, saints of God in this church for the last 42 years has been here and worked faithfully for the Lord, served God, and took communion. when we get to heaven on the other side one of these days, somehow or another, I believe, we're going to really be close by each other. We serve God here. God's not going to just separate us, the boondocks of the universe, and not know. I believe that there's going to be a camaraderie among us, among all God's children, that will bring us together and somehow or another on the other side, that we serve God here and who will enjoy His blessings over there as He leads us in different things that we'll be involved in. This thing's going to continue. We're just getting started here. And we're just getting started. This world will laugh at and mock at it. Hey, I've lived long enough now. I don't care about being laughed at. I don't like it, but I certainly don't care. You know what the Lord does? He gives you that understanding because Jesus Himself loved people. And He was mocked more than you and I'd ever be mocked, but at the same time, I'll tell you this. When He went to Calvary and died, there come a day He will pronounce His judgment on those who refuse to trust Him. And how in this world can someone that loves us be able to do that? Because He'll see justice. And by the way, once He pronounces judgment on those at the white throne, great white throne judgment, they will see justice for the first time. See, He'll open their eyes to see justice. And when He opens their eyes to really see justice, now you have to trust Him by faith. But then you see really justice. And when He opens their eyes to see justice, they will not be able to say a thing to Him when He pronounces them to be thrown into the lake of fire. The Word of God itself, the Bible teaches us, as we refer to as the law, will literally stop their mouths. They won't be able to. They'll try, but the Word of God, the law of God, will stop their mouth. You see, this is real. It condemns us here, and God will give us in grace and mock, do anything we want to, even deny His existence. But when you stand to reality where He is sitting, the judge, and Christ Himself at the great white throne judgment, this very word that leads us today will stop their mouths when they begin to say anything of why it would be unjust, because they'll see things in justice then. Aren't you glad you saw Him in faith now and trusted Him? And we're here tonight to honor our Savior and to obey our God and yield to the Spirit of God. Partake what He said, the bread which is His body, symbolic of that, and the cup which is symbolic of His blood, and our coming to Him asking for the forgiveness of sin that He may cleanse us. And I really believe that you can come right here and be just as pure if you ask specifically, believing, and not try to fake in what you're doing. You'd be just as pure as you was the day you got saved. Because you see, it's the blood of Christ that cleansed you when you got saved. And it's the same blood that cleanses you when you ask God to forgive you. Isn't that great? Glory to God. Make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. So at this time, let's bow our heads in prayer and go into the communion service.